I think for me, what was really profound was seeing the catalyst of the way we all work 5 years ago being just completely disrupted. But in turn, a lot of people who otherwise we used to have to pull into learning or pull into classrooms saying, I need this.
You're listening to Learning Leader Spotlight, interviews with corporate L&D leaders. On each episode, we sit down with key industry experts to discover more about what's happening in the world of learning and development. From current trends and insights to the most valuable lessons learned along the way. Join us for a fresh perspective on all things training and the best direction forward. Here's your host, Leanne Lankford.
Hi, welcome to Learning Leader Spotlight, the podcast where we interview the learning leaders of today to provide information to the learning leaders of tomorrow. I'm Leanne Lankford, your host. I'm the president of Training Pros. Training Pros is a learning and development contract staffing company where we like to say, when you have more projects than people, let us find you the consultant to start your project with confidence. I'm very excited today to introduce my guest. We have with us today Brian Hughes. He's the Vice President of Talent Management at Alnylam Pharmaceuticals. Brian, did I get that right?
You got it right, Leanne. Thank you so much. Yeah, really, really excited to be here.
So we're going to just chat with Brian today. Brian, can you start off by telling our listeners a 60-second overview of who you are and what you do?
So my role here at Alnylam is Vice President of Talent Management. That also includes our learning and organizational development function. So, you know, your conventional kind of L&D work around manager development, leader development, creating a culture and environment for all of our colleagues to grow their careers. As we're a biotechnology company, there's also a component that's really focused on our regulatory learning in our manufacturing and clinical practices. So our team has the opportunity to do that work. And lastly, we do a lot of work in the talent management space around talent assessment, around succession, performance management, very close partnership with our colleagues across HR there. And I've been with Alnylam now for just about 6 years. So a little bit about what we do here at Alnylam and about my work.
That is a lot of different areas that your team is working with. So you got to be pretty busy. What is it about learning and development that first attracted you to this field?
It's funny, earlier in my career, I'd worked as an HR business partner. I was one of those HR business partners who got in a lot of trouble because I find myself doing all this work and projects where some of our colleagues would say, hey, I think that's my job. And one of those, you know, fell into the area of organizational development or team development or kind of building out solutions to develop my clients and stakeholders. And that moved me at the time. I was at a company called Athena Health, a healthcare technology company, into the opportunity to lead our leadership development work, as well as what we called our performance learning work. And that really was that kind of initial foray into really focusing on organizational learning and focusing on manager and leader development. But that was kind of by way of my finding an opportunity to do some of that work in other jobs and saying, I probably should be doing this full time.
That's a great story. I mean, I love to hear how people decided to join this field. What are the most impactful changes you've seen in the last few years?
Yeah, I'll start. And I'm sure probably many of your guests probably recently have thought along these lines with kind of post-COVID. There was that kind of moment in time where we said, okay, we absolutely need to find creative, asynchronous ways to bring learning to our colleagues. And people had, in my view, an unprecedented appetite and need for it, whether it was, how do I navigate working in a new environment, or how do I navigate change, or just new experiences? And then that brought us into kind of the skills focus, and how am I developing skills, and how are organizations really starting to view work more in a skills versus kind of job perspective. So I think for me, what was really profound was seeing the catalyst of the way we all work 5 years ago being just completely disrupted. But in turn, a lot of people who otherwise we used to have to pull into learning or pull into classrooms saying, I need this. How can you help me? How can you really guide me through this time? And I look back and say, that was a really critical moment for L&D to step up and be able to really guide and enable and give people the tools to navigate something they had never seen before. So that's the first thing that comes to mind for me. And then if I think about it in my own context, there's just such a heightened focus that I've seen over the past couple of years for capability building, for business leaders coming to whether it be L&D or talent leaders and saying, we need you to craft the solutions that are going to ready our people for a new future, whether that's skills-based, whether that's leadership-based. Gone are the days of, hey, we're in our kind of center of excellence in the corner and we're waving the flag saying, hey, we want you to come to this workshop. Please pay attention to us. And now we're in the days of the business saying, we need to bring you into the room. We are now holding you accountable to help us craft the solution that's going to bring our business forward. And it's a fun time to be in this work, but the stakes are certainly higher than they've been, at least in my own vantage point in the past. So I'll take it every day, but that's certainly the shift that I've seen over the past several years.
That does sound exciting. So I haven't been in corporate L&D 25 years ago, I left. And we definitely did not have that happening of them bringing us into the room. We're like, let us in. We want to be here. But yeah, with the greater responsibility comes you. Now you have to be accountable.
With great power comes great responsibility, right? I don't know if we've secured power. I wouldn't put it that way. But we've got a good chunk of responsibility in our hands, which I wouldn't have it any other way. This is exactly how I'd like it to be.
It really is great. And I have noticed in the last, maybe it's the advent of Gen Z coming into the workforce, but it seems as though having corporate learning be strong is a competitive advantage now for companies, especially with hiring and retention.
Yeah, I mean, I would actually offer from the employee perspective, it's table stakes. Our kind of next generation of colleagues are coming in expecting, how are you going to ultimately help me navigate my career? And how can I build the skills that's going to advance my capabilities and help me grow with the company? You know, I don't see people being pleasantly surprised. Oh, it's so nice that you have this. They're more so coming into the organization and coming into profession saying, I would have assumed this was here. What more do you have for me? So it's interesting. There's a pull from each direction of the business. You know, leadership is saying, we need you to really build talent strategies and pull those through to advance the things that we're trying to deliver in our business. And our employees are saying, I expect you to ultimately help me craft my skills, to ultimately help me navigate my career path and my success in the organization. So that there's more demand that I see and experience than that we can deliver on a day-to-day basis. But I mean, we're climbing that hill every day. We're trying.
So where do you see the L&D going in the next 5 to 10 years? Where are we headed?
Yeah, you know, what I'm interested to see is what I've observed a lot over the past year is the acceleration of artificial intelligence and tools like artificial intelligence coaching, right? So you can ultimately have who looks, sounds, and feels very much like a remote human interacting with you and kind of guiding you through a coaching experience. And what I've seen in the professional coaching field over the past few years is this was definitely something that used to be only kind of suited and afforded for your executive leaders or perhaps your senior leaders. And it was a rare learning or development investment that was made. And then with organizations like BetterUp and Ezra or Korn Ferry that have really evolved coaching at scale, you know, over the past 2 years, I had seen a lot of our work at Alnylam really take advantage of those coaching at scale tools. And I think what I observed there was these organizations and platforms doing a great job of really building connective global networks of certified executive coaches, and therefore it made the cost structure more accessible, the coaching more available. There were more options for learners and users. And what was nice to see is that kind of at deeper levels of the organization, we could say, hey, you could use a coach and we can really build a solution that is affordable organizationally, that's approachable for the individual. So what I'm seeing as the next wave in this particular area is that this is all artificially generated. So you can have an algorithm built based off an assessment or based off feedback that can ultimately say, these are your development priorities and here are the resources, or even here's the advisement, here's the consultation. And if you want that to feel like a human, it can, which is a little scary. But these are some of the things that I'm seeing, which is just making resources that just used to be so isolated to the exceptional in the organization, whether it's your high potential or your executive leader, and really available at scale and just built at such a level of kind of scale and efficiency. It's a little scary, but also very exciting.
That is exciting. I mean, everybody needs a coach. Nobody's good at everything. So
that's right.
To have an AI coach available to really help you improve wherever it is you need it, that can be a game changer for all the employees if they accept the coaching.
That's right. I'm still trying to find my artificial intelligence parenting coach, but if I can come across one of those, I think that's probably my biggest top priority right now.
Well, what could I use that?
That's right. That's right.
So who has been your most influential professional mentor in your career?
Thinking about this, you know, I think about some leaders that I've worked with, and actually one particular leader who I just recently got back in touch with, but I think had a profound influence on me. His name is Mark Nevins. Mark leads Nevins Consulting out of New York. Or I think now it's out of Massachusetts, but it had previously been out of New York. He wrote the book, What Happens Now? And it really focuses his work on a leader kind of going through a transformative phase. So Mark runs an executive coaching practice. and has worked with executives, but Mark had always, and as I would observe him in the moments that I got to talk with him about his journey, his path, he really had an ability as a leadership whisperer that I learned a lot about how to actively listen, how to meet leaders where they are, how to make sure that you are contextualizing whatever advisement you have to the relevance of what they're experiencing and where their business is. And those are hard skills to master, particularly to do that in a very kind of fluid, natural, conversational way. And then personally, you know, I'd gotten to know Mark. There was a real security in his style. When you work with somebody, you just know that they're very comfortable over their own 2 feet, and they have a level of kind of poise and security in how they work. That's a style that I, you know, aspire to, that I hope to emulate. But as I kind of think about folks that I've crossed paths with that do similar work to myself, or work that, you know, I hope to continue doing, that's the first name that comes to mind in terms of somebody who can really be thoughtful and poised and conscientious and being able to connect with leaders, but not only to do that personally, to really be connective to what's going on in their business, to understanding what their professional priorities are, and then bringing in that personal touch.
This episode is brought to you by Training Pros, the award-winning contract staffing agency that works exclusively with learning and development professionals to match the right consultants to client projects. If you're in corporate L&D and have more projects than people, let the industry practitioners at Training Pros provide you with the right L&D consultant to start your project with confidence. Find out how we make finding quality consultants easy by scheduling a consultation at www.trainingpros.com.
I love to hear stories of mentors, but I can imagine as somebody who was destined to be an executive coach with probably a natural mentor.
You don't ask somebody like that to mentor you. You just listen when they talk. And folks who are, you know, whether they're coaches or, you know, I've come across so many senior leaders that I think have this way about them that, you know, the words that they're going to offer are going to be wise. So the best thing that you can do is ask good questions and just listen carefully when they respond.
So let's change gears for a minute. What do you think is the most important skill right now in talent development or talent management?
A couple of things come to mind for me. One of them is probably evergreen, but it's something that I'll emphasize. And then the first, I think, is very relevant now. So the first I'll say is agility, because I think that things are changing so rapidly. And most companies and organizations are going to change so rapidly. I think any L&D or talent leader needs to be nimble, needs to be able to kind of have a plan, have a strategy, and be able to quickly pivot, adjust, and adapt. And I think about that from an L&D standpoint in terms of any learning and development team is going to come into the year saying, here's our plan, here's kind of what we want to bring to the organization, here's the programs that we're going to build, and then the business, and then things are going to happen that you don't plan for. And your ability to say, let's pivot versus let's stay the course and walk down a path of irrelevance is so critically important. And over my career, I've had some hard lessons in that regard, right? You kind of anchor to, this is the thing that we set out to do at the start of the year, and we're going to see this through. And sometimes that can bite you, right? In your ability to say, okay, what's the direction that the business is going? What's the direction that leadership is going? What are the directions that our employees are going, and what are they telling us? And being able to remain strategic, but also be able to pivot if necessary, I think particularly now that's so crucial. And then the evergreen element that I think is just so important is business acumen, connection, and relevance. The degree to which you can connect anything you're doing toward what is the business trying to achieve and how is this helping the business ultimately get there. And if you can't make that justification, you have to second guess it. You have to pull back with your team and say, are we doing this because we like it? Are we doing it because we think this is important? And is the business asking for this, or do they need it? And if we can't answer those second questions, I'm not saying throw it out, but I will say, got to take a second look and say, is this worth our time? Because a key thing that I always try to monitor is the business welcoming what we're bringing to them? And if you find yourself saying, we are trying to convince you to engage in this, my most recent boss in CHRO, her name is Kelly Boucher, she had given me advice once, which is, if you find yourself that you're having to convince people to do something, that's a really good indicator that you need to take a second look on whether you need to be doing it. And as I think about that element of business acumen and relevance, you got to be able to draw those connections in order to make sure that you're both internally within your team and externally with your business validating the importance of what you're bringing to the organization.
I love that answer. That is one of the things that was not really present in learning and development 20 years ago was business acumen. And it really is a necessary thing today. You really have to understand not level 1 through 4 evaluations of what we're doing, but what are the goals of the organization and how is what we're doing working towards that goal, and how can we convey that in a language that the rest of the business understands?
And it's in commentary that I've discussed with our leadership team is, you know, avoiding the flavor of the moth tendency. There's never going to be a shortage of a really interesting book or a concept or a theme or kind of consulting practice that we can be eager in L&D to say, we can't wait to bring this and kind of engage your mindset and here's the new thing. And meanwhile, we run the risk of somebody saying, we never asked for this and we actually have other things we need you to do. So if we don't have a clear command and sense of what are the things you need us to do, we haven't asked the first question. So I've really kind of learned over time through trial and error, by the way, you know, that asking that first question of where does the business most need us to really focus and prioritize, everything else comes secondary behind that.
I love that answer. What is your favorite source for industry news and information?
Yeah, it's interesting. And I'll confess, I mean, my title is talent management. So I kind of always have that skew more toward the kind of talent management side and space. But the first thing that comes to mind for me, the first name that comes to mind is Mark Efron and the Talent Strategy Group. There's a publication, it's Talent Quarterly is the website, but they really publish, I would say, very provocative, very challenging, very thoughtful and very well-researched articles. Things like, let's challenge the premise of growth mindset. And let's actually look at that. Let's have a counter point of view of what does the evidence show in terms of what are the business context results when we try to apply growth mindset? Or in this grit work. But then if I kind of think of it more from a functional standpoint, really thinking through how do you optimize a talent review process and effectively identifying high potentials and pulling that through into actionable development and progression in their career. So I find myself that I gravitate toward a lot of their stuff. I have a team member who's going to be attending the Talent Management Institute, which is sponsored by that group. By the way, they have no idea that I'm saying all these nice things. This is just my honest answer. But as I really think about areas that kind of balance the thought provocation, the provocation of interesting new ideas, but grounded in like pragmatism and this is what can be done in the business, that's the first thing that comes to mind for me. And that's one of those, anytime stuff that comes up in my LinkedIn feed from those folks, I'm going to jump on it.
Okay, well, thank you. Last question. Now, this is a personal question for me because I'm a huge reader. What is one book that everyone wanting to move into learning and development leadership should read?
I've thought a little bit about this, and this is an unconventional answer, which is I think everybody should read Atomic Habits by James Clear. And the reason why is I think that book just does such a nice job of simplifying, but instilling a sense of how do you create habits? And how do you break bad habits? And as I just get down to the fundamentals of what are we trying to do in learning and development, we're ultimately trying to get people to engage in new thinking or to act in a different way or to enhance or adjust, whether it's a behavior or a skill or an approach. So as I come back to like the foundational elements of that, of if you are an effective habit builder, that is just going to so nicely enable all of that other skill building or all of that other capability building or knowledge development that you would have. So I did try to think about what's an answer that maybe some of your other guests haven't given, maybe somebody else has. But as I think about this, I continue to come back to that dynamic of what is L&D going to produce, right? Like we can do a great job of having like beautiful pedagogy and great assessment and, you know, impressive thematic content. But if people don't act differently, then it's only academic. So as I was thinking about this question, I thought to myself, the idea to which we can help people build better habits and put those learnings into immediate practice, that's why Atomic Habits came to mind for me. Because I just think it does such a nice job of distilling this concept into this is what you can do today and tomorrow and the next day. And then really start to drive that individualized change.
That is a great book. And that is one I have read. Prior to getting to ask this question on the podcast, I used to use Blinkist. And I would, every day, I was like, what are they pushing today? And then when that one came up, I'm like, ooh, that's interesting. So then I got the book. Yeah. But yeah, it's a great book. And yeah, I do recommend anybody reading that, not just L&D leadership.
Absolutely.
Anybody. Well, this has been a great conversation, Brian. I really appreciate you coming on our podcast today.
Yeah, Liam, thank you so much for having me. I've so appreciated the opportunity to chat with you. And thanks so much for the questions and really enjoyed our talk.
Great. Well, as a thank you, we're going to plant 5 trees in your name. I'll be sending you a certificate to show you where they were planted. That is our charity here at Training Pros. We plant trees around the world To date, we've planted 5,000 trees around the world. So every time we put a consultant to work, we plant a tree in the world.
I love it. I love it. And I'm honored. Thank you.
You're welcome. And all the things that Brian mentioned in here, all the resources will be in the show notes. And again, thank you, Brian, for joining us. And I hope everyone will join us again next week for the next Learning Leader Spotlight.
Thanks for joining us for the latest episode of Learning Leader Spotlight, interviews with corporate L&D leaders. You'll find links in the show notes to any resources mentioned on today's show. If you're enjoying our podcast, please subscribe so you never miss an episode and leave us a 5-star review.